Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how you doing this beautiful Saturday?
Yeah, nice day. I guess it's the calm before the storm, right? After this, it keeps raining for a week or something.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. That's what they said. But
one
who knows? You can't
even
trust the weather people to get anything right, you know, let alone the stock market people.
Ooh.
Right now, it is Saturday, June 24th, 2017. It's 10:05 in the morning, and we always say it's 10:05 in the morning because the show is rebroadcast at midnight on this station, ESPN 1520 AM. Unless there's a sporting event, and then the show will be rebroadcast after the sporting event. We are also available every Saturday morning, live streaming from 10 to 11. If you go to our website, sapperston.com, that's S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com, you can catch the show on most devices that connect to the internet. Also, at the website, all of our shows are archived, so if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, the archive shows are up there at the website. And then last but not least, there's a economic report, a free economic report. Everybody likes free, right?
Yeah, free is good.
Yeah. From Stone and McCarthy, yeah, noted economic organization, bunch of economists. They kind of speak in English, you know, more or less, and it's easily understandable in a brief, concise report on the happenings in the economy last week.
A lot of numbers, too. A lot of interest rates.
A lot of interest rates and charts yeah. And things to look at, you know, when you have nothing better to do, I guess.
Yeah, this week they're sort of hedging whether they thought the Federal Reserve should have raised interest rates, something we've talked about. And they're saying, you know, the economy, the Fed's basically betting that the low in employment numbers are putting a squeeze unemployment, and I just don't see it, but, you know.
Everybody will argue, you know, and then in the end, you know, they'll spend the next few years debating about it, you know, was that a good policy, wasn't that a good policy. Keeps everybody in business, right?
I guess.
Keeps all the talk shows going, keeps CNBC going.
Like ours?
Yeah, keeps our show going. So right now, all of the lines are wide open. Give us a call. 803-1520 or toll free 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in right now. If you do have trouble getting in on 803-1520, you can call 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. I'm sure you'll remember all of those things. I don't. I have to read it off the wall. Right now, give us a call. Phone lines are wide open. Another pretty decent week in the market last week.
Yeah, amazing, huh?
Yeah, S&P hit a new high for the year. Dow hit a new high for the year. NASDAQ's struggling a little bit.
Right.
not bad. And we'll talk about, you know, what's going on in the NASDAQ.
Just doesn't feel like new highs and all that stuff.
Well, so. Depends where you are. You know, if you're in the right places, boy, you're out dancing in the streets. You know, it all depends. You know, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, or toll free, 800-879-7541. And the rollover numbers, which are supposed to work and may not, so you'll have to call
them
direct.
It's a whole other
story. 803, yeah, we won't go into that story. 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. We will go first to Richard in Rochester. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Morning, David. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Beautiful weekend.
Nice.
Yeah. Question. I had quite a few options on Oracle. Mm-hmm. And after the news, after the earnings and everything, I sold most of it, but I'm still holding long 400 shares of Oracle, and I have some options. Any opinion on what happens after a stock spikes up like this?
After it spikes up?
Yeah.
Well, I encourage you to read Barron's this weekend. Very bullish on Oracle.
Oh, really?
Very, very bullish on Oracle. They said that, you know, they finally got the business down. They're increasing their cloud business, and everybody thought their original database software business would be on the decline, but that's even growing.
Mm-hmm.
So, very encouraging article.
Okay.
You don't sound happy about that.
You sound like you're in pain. I don't know.
Oh, you mean Peter don't sound happy or me?
You sound like you're in pain.
Peter's never happy. Come on.
You know, I had a tremendous gain, and I'm not bragging because it very seldom happens.
You're right.
But I get the feeling I don't know when to sell.
Oh, who does?
Well, who does? I mean, you know, you tell me.
You know what the
object of it is?
Huh.
To make money. That's it.
I made money, and my father used to tell me if you made money, you didn't do wrong.
That's exactly right. No question about it.
And when you get greedy, you get slaughtered.
You get slaughtered. But you know, you sold your call positions, right?
Most of them.
Yeah, and
I'm still holding some.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this thing broke out, okay, and made a buy signal at the 47 area.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, you know, the stock was basically in a range between about 35 and 46, say, 45 for what?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3 years almost, you know, 2.5 years. You break out of that.
A while,
that's,
right,
you know? You break out of that, that's an important breakout. If you want to believe the price objective on the point and figure chart, it's 59. If you want to take a simple break of the trading range, 35 to, say, 45, you get a target of 55.
I heard you say that. I listened to the show, the archive, and that's what you kind of said last week. So,
yeah. I mean, so after almost three years of going essentially no place, you know, that tells you something's going on, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm happy. If I sold half, you know what happens when you sell? It goes up. So I said, go ahead, make my day.
Well, everybody does that, you know, but you have to be consistent, right?
Yeah.
Personally, I believe if you got a good profit, especially in a short period of time, you take something off the table.
Yeah.
And you hope it goes up further.
That's what I did.
Right.
That's what I, because, you know, when you sell it goes up, I'm saying go ahead, go up now. But too many times I've seen it, you get greedy and then it comes back down.
Exactly.
You go.
You know, but you know, and you can't sit there and say, oh, I should have never sold that half. Well, you don't know what's going to happen. And believe me, there's times... you don't sell. You don't take your half, and before you know it, you're at a loss. You know,
okay.
So you had a nice profit, and now you're losing money. And,
yeah,
an old rule of traders is never let a profit turn into a loss. You know,
that's as I'm getting older, and I see something eroding. I want to sell it while it's still green. I can't stand a loss anymore.
Yeah, and that was
the old me, you know. So.
Yeah, if you keep your losses at a minimum, you know, and you don't have to be a trader, you know, and in and out every little flip-flop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can keep your losses low and then you hit things like Oracle every once in a while, in the long run, you'll be okay.
That's what the object is.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys putting your collar up for me and all. Like,
there you go.
Father Peter and Father David. Can I ask you another couple before I go?
Oh, definitely, because there's nobody else on the line. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
I'm doing some options on this one. I don't know if I'm nuts or not. G-I-L-D, George Indigo Larry David.
Boy, you're hot today. Nice,
yeah,
bullish,
I'm not all right.
Nice bullish story on Gilead and Barron's again.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Because it took a hell of a dump for a long while there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, bottom line is that, yeah, I mean, their earnings have been declining a bit, you know, with some of their drugs, you know, that sales have slowed down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking, you know, about the pipeline and so forth, and also the fact they think the company's sitting back, and you don't want to wait for this, but a catalyst might be that they're looking for a good acquisition too, you know, which people may look upon very favorably. So to me, if I look at the chart, you know, I got to realize the 200-day moving average is at 71 and it almost closed there, right?
Okay.
So it has not been above the 200-day moving average since about the summer of 2016, okay?
Yeah.
And this is key, you know. So, you know, if this can get above the 200, then hold above the 200, you have something going for it. I believe it was in the Barron's article. And, you know, I'm always meant, you know, you take Barron's for what it's worth.
Sure.
You know, you read it, there's ideas, and then you decide, you know, does this make sense? You don't go jump just because they say something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, if I were to look at a resistance target on it, you know, if it can break the 200, right?
Right.
Stay above the 200, the next target would be around the 76 area.
Okay.
And whoever wrote about it in Barron's was some analyst. I can't think of what his name was, but he put a target of 79 on the stock. You know?
Yeah. They're saying the worst is over. And
the advantage, you know, which I was going to mention in the NASDAQ, you had a big rotation into biotechnology late in the week.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's really big, right? Mm-hmm. And if you look at the IBB, it just broke right out. It just blew above resistance, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So if the sector, you know, you never know. Sometimes you can get false starts in a sector.
Yeah.
But if that breakout's to be believed, you're in the right sector, and this has been a laggard. It's been going down and down and down. You know? So mm-hmm. How far out is your call, though?
I went out to, I think I'm at September or October.
Okay, that's good. All right.
The reason is I wind up paying more for that, but
right.
My experience is I get in trouble with short expirations because yeah. My idea was right, but I run out of time.
And you've never learned because everybody wants to buy. You know. You learned an important lesson. You know that they teach people in options. You know that, you know, a lot of people they want to buy the cheap option, right?
Yeah.
And the cheap option is the close-in option, but you're running against time decay. And you could be right on the stock, but time decay will kill you. You know.
Yeah, I watch them expire worthless. I used to watch them all the time. So when I do this now, I go out further than I should.
Yeah.
And like my oracles, I could have kept them for another month, but I was afraid what might happen in a month.
Oh, no problem. Yeah. You know, you so what? You made your money.
Yeah, I know.
Well, something to watch though, and it's not.
You know,
go ahead. It's not on the chart, but at the end of the week, you had the Senate come out with their health care bill, and you saw everything, not just biotech, but you saw Bristol-Myers, you saw Johnson & Johnson, everything really moving.
Yeah, health care in general.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very, very strong. Yeah. And also, I remember, I don't know where I read it years ago, but I know one person talking about playing options said, never buy an option less than 3 months, right?
Oh, really?
Yep.
Interesting.
So, you know, for what
unless you're sure.
And then you're saying,
you're right.
I always told the story, you know, you're talking about I was worried about, you know, and I got out of the call and whatever, but I told the story many, many years ago. I don't do options because I was horrible at it, right?
Yeah.
And I was one of those guys that always played the cheapest options, the shortest period, right?
Right.
And I had a friend of mine, you know, who said, you know, what do you like? So I gave him, like, over a period of short time, 10 plays, right?
Mm.
And I did 10 plays, the same 10 plays, right? He made money on every single one of the ones I gave him. I lost
wow.
money on every single one.
Wow.
I lost money on every single one because one of them, I even had five times my money. And I ended up letting it expire worthless.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Hey, and especially in options, you just, hey, take the gift and go, you know.
Yeah, thank you. That's good advice. give you one more?
Sure.
SQ, Sam Quick.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you, that one hurts me.
Where?
I was in that one a while ago at much lower prices.
I go out to California to visit my son. He says, earning, this is a couple months ago, Square's coming out with earnings. Maybe we should play it a little. What the heck? I said, what's a Square?
Yeah, right.
He says, in San
Well, if you go into most places now, you see this little iPad-looking device on the counter.
He says you're going to see every vendor using a Square to process credit cards.
Oh, yeah. All right, you know, a rule I follow is I never buy a stock just before earnings, right?
What's it? I missed that, Peter.
I never buy a stock just before earnings.
Well, that could be so dangerous.
It's very dangerous.
Oh, I know what you're
saying. I mean, it might turn, I should have done it. Look at those earnings. Sometimes the earnings can blow out the estimates and the stock goes down, right?
Oh, no question.
Yeah, I just don't like taking the chance, especially in the kind of markets we've been in, you know.
No, I agree with you. We did it. We sold it right after. The thing continues to go. We say, we got back in, only because I think the concept is good.
Yeah, I mean it's interesting that this same guy owns Twitter. I wish he'd figure out what to do with Twitter, you know. So
yeah, I know. But looks like a long tail up, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean on that. But, you know, I always tell people, do not look just at point and figure charts, all right?
Because
if you look at the bar chart, to me, it's been going relatively sideways now for a month.
Hmm.
You know? Well. So the point, all the point and figure chart is telling you it hasn't had a three-box pullback, right?
Right, correct.
So it hasn't had a three-point pullback. But
Which is a terrible pullback.
Yeah. So it can be look deceiving because you go, oh my God, that's going straight up. Well, you know, really, I'd say since June 30th, it hasn't gone that far. You know, June 30th, it was $22.99. Not June 30th. What am I saying? May 30th. It was $22.99, and now it's $24.17. It's going up, what, a point and something?
Yeah.
In almost a month?
That's no big whoop.
Yeah, no.
Right.
But it's consolidating, you know.
Right.
But if you look at the point and figure chart, you get kind of a misleading picture, you know. Yeah. It's just telling you it hasn't had a three-point pullback, you know.
My wife's yelling me one symbol to me, so please, I don't want to.
I hope it's not X.
But if I don't give you the symbol,
it's X.
You're going to beat me up all weekend. M-O-M-O.
Momo. Yeah, I know.
And I think it's a Chinese company, and I'm telling her I don't trust Chinese companies, but she's got an intuition about her, you know.
Well, this has been a favorite Momo stock, momentum stock, you know, of the traders. You know,
yeah.
This is a big momentum play of the traders, you know. And after having gone up as high as about 42, 45, almost 46.
45, it looks like.
45.85. Yeah, it pulled 95. All the way back to what, 35? Yeah, yeah, 35, right?
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I was watching one of the sites I'm actually subscribed to, and he was highlighting Momo.
Really?
And he was saying, you know, a lot of people are technical analysts and... Yeah, you know, and they follow if it breaks down below the 50-day, which it did, you know, a while ago. If it breaks below the 50-day, they get out. And he says, that's one of the stupidest things I've ever seen, he said, you know.
Is that what a bear trap is?
No, it's not a bear trap. I mean, you know, basically, it broke this one. A bear trap normally is if it breaks below resistance, all right, or support, rather, breaks below support and immediately goes back above it, then it made people sell and got the weak sellers out of the market, you know. But, you know, I guess, you know, in a way you could say if a lot of people sold on, but, you know, when it broke the 50-day, I think it was around 38 or something like that. Maybe even higher. Let me just see. Yeah, it was around 38 or so it broke the 50. Then it came down to 35, you know. So, you know, who was right, who was wrong depends on your time frame, right? Traders would say, thank God I got out at 38, right? Because I didn't want to see it drop to 35. So it all depends on the time frame and whether you're a trader or an investor. But anyway, his point was you wait, you know, don't give up on the stock. Wait and see if it goes back above the 50, which, by the way, it just did.
Yeah.
So it could be an interesting play. And what I would do is if I were to buy it, if it dropped below 35, then I'd be out, you know.
Below 35.
Yep.
Okay.
Because when this thing gets going, it gets going. You know, I think it's in the, what is it? social media type thing?
Yes.
I haven't even done
Yeah, I think it is a Chinese social media thing.
Are you leery of Chinese stocks? Because they
not in general.
Only if they go down.
Yeah, I mean, look at Baba, right?
Right.
Love it. Love right? Alibaba.
Yeah.
So I can't, you know, you should never generalize totally. No. But you should be aware that if it's a Chinese stock and it's a questionable company, or you know it's a cheapie or whatever, yeah, you know you have to watch yourself. You know, no question about it. But there's some good Chinese. You know, one of them got themselves in trouble. I think the symbol's WB. And this WB, which is one of the hottest stocks in the last year. I mean, I think it came up from last 2 years really. You know, in under 20 whatever, and it actually got up to what. A high in the 76, 77 area, and it's
actually 82.28.
Was that the high?
Yeah.
So the high weeks. Was that, you know. Yeah. So I mean, it came a long way, but this stock, it's called, I think, Weibo.
Weibo Corp.
Weibo Corp. Right. Yeah, this stock is the Twitter of China.
Ah.
Okay. And what happened was, you know, the stock was still doing very well, and the Chinese government shut them down. Right.
Well,
because they said they're not policing their Twitters, their tweeters, whatever you call them.
Customers.
they don't like people are able to say some of the things they say, right?
Yeah, big brother.
So you know it's no freedom of the press or freedom of speech, right?
Right.
But they, you know, I've seen people say, for example, for this company, well, you know, they'll figure a way to make the Chinese government happy, you know.
Sure.
But anyway, but you know, some of these companies are in hot areas in China. Mm-hmm. You know, the areas where the government's clamping down on in China is credit, you know. They're squeezing credit, and they're coming after some of the companies will come under pressure who are putting out credit. They're hurting their own steel companies and that type of thing, you know. So
you two are a plethora of information, let me tell you.
Yeah, now if you
I
can
go
figure,
on a show,
if you,
you're my lifeline.
If you can as long as you can figure how to make money on the plethora or whatever.
Well, I'm not going to hog the show. Look, I want to tell you guys, I love the show, and I love you two guys, and I appreciate the years you've been helping me, and I hope all the listeners take advantage of you. You're really great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks you very much for the call. You
and
kept
listen
us
to
going.
Your wife.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
I am.
Yeah, I mean, years ago, she picked U.S. Steel, and I laughed at it, right? And
I don't want to bring it up.
Well, I always bring it up.
Wow.
What'd it do, triple or something? I don't know, if quadruple?
It went from 15 to 100, and then we said, the charts look like hell, Patty. What are you doing?
I said, who the heck would buy U.S. Steel?
We'll talk about it next time. Thanks, guys.
Right,
take
have
care.
A great weekend,
Good talking
Richard.
To you there.
Good talking
to you. I appreciate it.
Shows
you.
I even make mistakes, right? Hard to believe, but true. Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call. 803-1520 is the main line. 800-879-7541 if you have to use an 800 number. And also, if you have a busy signal on the 803-1520 number, there are other numbers, 803-0321, 803-0323, and 803-0324. And I covered all the, you know, the rotation going on in the market, you know. Right now, you know, some semiconductors have been consolidating, you know, and that was the hottest area. Right. And now, as you mentioned, you know, healthcare is just flying up.
And isn't the Russell being redone?
And Russell was rebalanced on Friday.
Okay.
And I don't know. You can't tell what the effects of that is. Yeah. I think on individual stocks, I saw a lot of low-priced Russell stocks flying all of a sudden because they had to rebalance and sell some of the stocks in their portfolios and buy others based on the percentage holdings that they should have. You know, so it was kind of an interesting day for a lot of people if you played Russell, you know, 2000 stocks.
Sure.
Interestingly enough, I mean, you know, with the help of biotech especially, you know, the NASDAQ was up 1.8%, you know, for the week. Still didn't make a new high. But it was up 1.8%, you know. And the one that's still, and the Russell, believe it or not, has been dragging all year.
Mm.
You know, it looks like it's going to get going and doesn't really pick up. So I don't know if the small stocks are going to eventually, you know, finally kick in here, but it remains to be seen. So, you know, right now I always mention, you know, pay attention to the sectors. I always bring that up every week. Focus on the sectors if you're looking for an individual stock. And the semiconductors is still the number one sector that's up there. And technology is still, I believe, the number two sector up there. But, you know, those areas have been consolidating. No, as a matter of fact, I misspoke. Healthcare just moved into the number two sector.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the third sector is technology. Not by much. I mean, the.
Yeah, where's banking and finance? Where are they?
Banking, down in the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, the financial sector is up 2.8% for the year. And if you look at healthcare, healthcare is up 16.4%. Semiconductors, 19.6%.
Wow.
What was the other one? Did I say healthcare, technology? Healthcare, 16.7%. And fourth place, still hanging in there, is home builders, up 13%.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so you know, those are the four top sectors, and you look for pullbacks in those areas. I was mentioning the person talking about, you know, technical, and, you know, he says, I'm no longer a technical analyst. I'm a trader, you know. so I don't get hung up on all these things, but he recognizes, like, for example, the 50-day moving average is important because a lot of institutions use it, right? So it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the exact number of the 50-day, that's ridiculous, you know. You know nothing's going to hit
exact
numbers.
Right, you got to give it a range, right?
Yeah, and you can say resistance. I could say resistance is at 75. Well, not the exact number, you know, but in that area. You know, and a lot of times you'll see stocks come down to the 50-day and move a little under and move a little other. Over it, bounce around it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were wondering why the 50-day is always mentioned, you know, institutions use that. The 200-day, institutions use that. You know, so those are two averages that, you know, a lot of big money is looking at, you know, and but you can't use them as exact numbers. So I don't know. It was interesting that there was an article for our Canadian listeners in Barron's. Why do Canadian stocks keep blowing up? And they say that the regulation of, you know, they're a little loose with regulation on the companies in Canada.
A little?
A little. And liquidity, you know,
is
another problem. And it was interesting watching because they showed the S&P, a chart of the S&P has been going up and up and up and up, and the Canadian index has been going down and down and down and down, you know.
Could be because they have a socialist liberal prime minister.
You had to get political.
Trying to get some phone calls.
Right. You'll take anything at this point. So right now, phone line's wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520. And if that's busy, 803-0323. 803-0321, 803-0324. And while we're waiting for phone calls, we'll take a quick one-minute break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctor Show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, 803-1520. If that's busy, try 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. Right now, we'll go to Vic in Williamsville. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay,
good.
How are you?
Vic.
Good. I was reading a couple articles this week about the Amazon effect, which it seems like almost every day there's something regarding the Amazon effect. But I wanted to ask your opinion about three stocks. First of all, International Paper, IP.
That's interesting. I haven't heard anybody bring up that one in a long time. And boy, I don't know why. It's been looking very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, the idea here is that as Amazon grows, there's more items that are packaged.
More cardboard, huh?
Cardboard, yep. And it I know, because I'm an Amazon Prime member. I have to break up this cardboard all the time, every week. But it's interesting. I looked at the stock. It looks really good, and it pays a 3% dividend.
Hmm. Oh yeah. I mean, right now, what's very interesting is, you know, you're coming up to very important resistance again. You know, which would be in about the 58 area.
Right.
And, you know, technically, based on the point and figure chart, it just had a nice little double top breakout, you know. And, you know, that would give a target of, let's see, looks like 66 on it. And if I looked at the other way of counting it, which would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 18, you can get 68. So 66 to 68, two different ways. So if you can take out 56... or 58, rather, with a lot of authority, you know, you could talk at least the mid-60s to high-60s on it.
That sounds good. And protection from the downside?
Well, on the point and figure chart, it'd be 49, okay.
Okay, that would be quite a ways down.
But if I looked at the, the bar chart on it, let me call that up real quick. Yeah, I would say on the bar chart, you're probably looking at somewhere in the 53, 54 area.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, with that nice dividend, if it goes up 10 or 15%, that's a nice return.
Very nice. Very nice. Yep.
Yeah. The other item I thought was even more interesting. There is a shortage countrywide of supply fulfillment centers, which seems almost hard to believe. But you might have read recently that Amazon is putting a supply center in this area. I can't remember where it is, but
I think it's Lancaster.
Lancaster, okay. So there are REITs that invest in this particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got two that I want you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
One is called, the symbol is TRNO.
TRNO. Okay.
Torino Realty.
Torino Realty.
Close at 33.40.
Looks like everybody's on to the game, huh?
I know. That's quite a chart, isn't it?
I mean, it's skyrocketing. I couldn't even come up with a price objective on it, really.
Yeah. Do you think it's safe to dabble?
Is anything safe? I don't know. You know.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
You know. But let me take a look at a bar chart real quick, because a point and figure chart, you know, is straight up. Yeah, that looks a lot different, which is nice. Yeah, so that's been consolidating rather nicely for a while. And the 50-day, which I just did a whole dissertation on, but anyway, 31.93, okay? And it's basically held above that. So, then I would say if I looked at support on the chart, it's probably going to be in the area 31, you know, and the stock closed at what?
33.40.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were playing it close to the vest, you say if it came under 31, then I might consider, you know, that I'm out of it, because then you'd be at risk to come all the way back to the 200-day moving average, which would be,
right.
Well, that's not that bad. It's 28.40, right? But depends on what's bad for you, right? So.
Yeah. And it also pays a nice little dividend too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little over 2%.
Yeah, it's consolidating nicely, and if it takes out, you know, the high around looks like 33.80 or so somewhere.
Yeah, 34
in there.
Bucks. Yeah.
34 is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if it takes that out, it could be on its way for another leg up, you know. And,
yeah.
And that leg could probably be somewhere around the, say, 28, 31, 33. Could move up to 37. Yeah.
Okay. And then you said the downside would be about 31.
Around 31, you know, and then the 200-day, which is back about 2850 or so, you know.
Okay. And the other similar REIT is called Rexford, R-E-X-R.
R-E-X-R? Okay.
Right, and that has a...
Isn't that weird? No, don't mind me. The bar chart looks exactly the same.
I know, it's similar yeah. type of chart.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's been going sideways now since, you know, about May 26th or somewhere around there. And consolidating its gains nicely. So if I look at the 50-day there, it's 26.25, right? And the 200-day is 23.38.
Close at 27.54.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's nice. I mean, you don't want to see it break down from that consolidation. But if it breaks out, you know, you could have another nice little run again, you know.
So a breakout would be, what, above 28, something like that?
Yeah, I'd say probably because, you know, that's as good as anything. Yeah, 28. You know,
yeah, because I'm looking at the point and figure. They have a objective of 41.8.
Yeah, I mean, I could see doing it from, it ran from 22 to 27.5. If it breaks out, you know, give it 5 points above 28, I'd get 33, right?
Right.
Yep.
Okay. That would be good. And it also pays a real nice dividend, too.
Yeah, it's nice. Very. Yeah, you're doing nice homework there, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
That's a smart... a lot of people don't do that. I applaud you for
that. Well, you know, every time, you know, every once in a while, you know, you read an interesting article and you think, well, maybe I'll pursue this and look at this a little closer. And mm-hmm. especially with all the... You know, with Amazon being in the news almost every week, it seems like something's going on with that company. You know, one other one, if you have time.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in and out of NVIDIA a few times, and it took a pretty good hit on Friday. And I was looking at the chart too. What do you think about NVIDIA in the mid 150s?
Well, let's take a look, you know. Institutions would love to buy it near the 50, all right, which would be 129. And, you know, the question is, I'd watch it closely because I don't know if there's going to be more of a rotation. You know, is the money going to flow into the biotech, you know, and this thing could pull back toward the 130 area?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a possibility, you know, question about it. And so I think you have to watch what, you know, if this rotation continues. And don't forget, you're coming down to the end of the quarter, right?
Right, yeah.
And they're readjusting all their portfolios and everything. And what I do notice is that this has held above its 20-day moving average for some time now. And that 20-day moving average is now at, looks like, about 150. So you really want to see it hold here, you know.
So hold at or above 150.
Yeah, right around the 150
right.
area or so.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your help.
Okay. Quite welcome. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks, Vic.
Okay. Phone lines are wide open again, so give us a call, 803-1520. And if that's busy, try 803-0321, 803-0323, and 803-0324. And I do mention, well, there's another one, but I'm not going to make, there's enough. Anyway, and then, you know, if you want to use an 800 number, it's 800-879-7541. Give us a call as we come down to about the last 15 minutes or so of the show. And, you know, one thing that I will mention, you know, at the beginning of the show and a couple of other times, we mentioned we are an RIA, which means we do manage money. We have a number of different types of managed accounts, depending on your risk tolerance, what you're trying to achieve, what your objectives are.
Mm-hmm.
We are also able to manage 401ks, pension plans, 403bs that are held, you know, at your company. You know,
right. Yeah. And people have probably been noticing if they have an IRA account that there's been a change in how accounts are being handled through the new Department of Labor, DOL instructions that are coming out. So It's somewhat of a work in progress, but there's been a lot of changes in that market. So if you have questions on your accounts, don't hesitate to give us a call.
Yeah. And besides managing money, we are a stock brokerage firm. So if you just want to open up an account, you know, and do your own thing and just have us there for advice, we're available for that. So if you want to take advantage of any of our services, you know, go to our website, saperston.com. That's S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. And all of our contact information is there. And, you know, we do welcome new business at any time. And right now, I guess the lines are still wide open. So
people are busy today, Peter. There's a lot of things busy. Going on.
Well, I have to get out there because if it's really going to rain for the next week, I have to get out and mow the lawn.
Got to do that.
I don't want it to get any wetter. You
know? I'm heading over to one of the local box stores picking up more mulch. Mm-hmm. I'm into mulch. So I'm going to do that. And then there's the 11-hour or 11-day hockey game going on down at the Harbor Center. And over at our Northtown Center here in Amherst, there's some of the best 17-year-old hockey players in the United States that are in a development camp. So the young man that was drafted by the Sabres last night has been here to see this. But USA Hockey loves Buffalo, New York. So I'm going to head over there tonight and watch some games.
Very good. Right now, we're going to go to Dennis in Batavia. Good morning.
How you doing, boys?
Okay, how are you?
Good morning.
I figured I'd call you. Nobody...
Thank God.
What do you mean you don't like U.S. Steel?
No, that was years ago, you know.
Oh, okay. So I just get in there with a huge position.
A huge position?
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. You know, I did see some firm, which I didn't even recognize the name of, came out and recommended, you know, the steel stocks.
A couple of them did.
Longbow?
No, it wasn't. Was it Longbow?
Standpoint Research.
Okay, I don't know. I thought it was even another name. But interestingly enough, I mean, I watched the whole group. You know, AK Steel, MT, which is, I can't remember how. You know, that whole steel group was all moving.
Yeah, minute 20 and change.
And I wonder, too, because they had an in Barron's, they weren't talking about the steel stocks, but they were mentioning about plunging iron ore prices.
Right.
Which is an input to steel, right?
Yeah.
And they also mentioned that because they've been clamping down, you know, on credit and some of the expansion in China, that the steel companies have been producing less in China, which I think is beneficial, right?
Yep.
For the U.S. companies, you know. So there may be a valid reason for why these are picking up like that, you know.
And they're using it. You don't need a law passed by Congress to do some of these repair jobs that, the highways and whatnot.
Yeah. But it's interesting. I mean, I look at U.S. Steel, and it's coming up on its 50-day moving average at 22, you know.
Right.
So as I mentioned before, you know, institutions can get kind of excited if it gets back above the 50-day, you know.
25 and I'm out.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have. I was going to say next resistance would be more like 27, but 25 is like one of those whole numbers, you know, where people like to place orders, so that's not a bad idea.
You know, like you said, you know, when you get to a point, you get out or sell half.
Exactly, yep.
How about FireEye? I don't own it, but I'm just... FEYE.
Yeah, for a while those cybersecurity stocks were picking up, and, you know. This one's basically been going sideways now.
You need another breach somewhere.
Yeah, but it's been going sideways for quite a while. And... Now, if I look at things like the technical things, on balance volume, you know, which has been very strong, even though the stock's been going sideways, which is supposed to be an indication that it's being accumulated. So it looks to be in a pretty decent position, you know.
And with all the cyber stuff going on.
Oh, yeah.
You got to look at one of them, and that's the cheapest.
And if you look at it, you know, you have a good, real good support level at about 14.5 on it, you know.
What is it now?
And it closed at, let's see, what did it close at anyway? Usually depend on David, who's probably checking his hockey stuff, you know. But
no, I'm having trouble with a couple of things. 1567.
Yeah.
1567. Yeah.
And you got support in 14.5 area, so could be interesting.
Maybe I'll take a look at it Monday.
Yep.
All right, just wanted to Where's our boy? I haven't heard from him. Must be working hard.
Coming back from Florida.
No, Jason.
Oh, Jason. Oh.
It's
I don't know.
It's probably his busy season.
Usually if you mention his name, he gets going. But he's probably working hard. You're probably right. You know, take advantage of the good weather while it's here.
He's making an honest dollar now.
There you go.
All right.
Perfect. Good hearing from you.
Thanks, Dennis.
Have a good weekend.
Good. You too.
All right, take care. Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520. If that's busy, try 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. And if you do, use an 800 number, 800-879-7541. We go next to Tom in North Tonawanda. Good morning.
Good morning. Peter, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Morning, Tom.
I'm fine. I'm so glad to hear Dennis on the phone.
Oh, yeah. It's always great when he calls, and he'll have some good ideas there.
As Dennis buys and sells.
Oh, yeah.
All the other dreamers are just talking. Okay. My symbol for today is QSR. I bought it like around the 30s.
QSR?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That's Restaurant Brands.
Restaurant Brands. What made you buy that?
You see all those cars at Hortons?
Yeah.
That's what it is. Hortons and Burger King.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
What's the price of it now? 60?
Well, looks like it closed at what? It closed at 62.15. Yeah. So it's testing, you know, after a little bit of a dip, it's testing the previous high.
Mm-hmm.
And what is very nice is it, you know, here's an example of one. It came down, slightly penetrated its 50-day moving average, right?
Okay.
And then immediately come back and reclaim that, which is a very, very bullish signal, you know. And if I look at it, if I say, let's see, where is this? I should wear my glasses, really, but anyway. 56 to 62.
We can get a bigger screen for you if you want.
Yeah, oh, that's all right. Next target would be probably around 68.
Very good.
And I know you're not a dreamer, so.
No, I look. You ever see how many cars are at a Hortons?
What do you mean?
This morning.
You nearly get killed going by a Hortons, you know.
Yeah.
The cars all backed
up
on the street.
It's worth it. It's good coffee. Come on.
Well, not only that. See, they're in with Burger King now, or Burger King bought them, or what. But anyway, the new name is Restaurant Brands.
Right.
And they recently bought Popeyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're looking at somebody else. I forget the other name.
Interesting. Yeah, that I didn't know. Holy cow.
I'm just waiting for Chick-fil-A to open up. That's all.
Yeah, maybe they'll buy Chick-fil-A. I don't
know. No, I came back from where we were in Newark Airport. There was a Chick-fil-A in the airport. There had to be 60 people in line. And it takes time to get. I mean, it's just Chick-fil-A. That's anyway. But no, Tim Hortons, that's right. I don't know. Burger King. I haven't been to Burger King in 10 years, so I don't know.
Okay, guys. Thank you.
Hey, right, thank you for the call. Tom. Appreciate it. Thanks for bringing this one up. I had lost track totally here.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye now. Bye.
Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520. If that's busy, try 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. And it looks like, Dennis, you got your wish. Here's Jason from Cherry Creek.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are we doing?
Okay.
Good.
Where
you
been?
Doing?
You've been working hard, right?
I haven't had a day off. It's like 3 or 4 weeks.
Isn't that nice? I'll tell you.
Yeah, and my recent acquisition thing has been a money pit for me, and I got to do a ton more work and everything else to get it fully rented before it could pay back, yada, da, da, da. But hey, whatever. That's life in the market of picking up, you know, anything. So a little sweat equity. But I did actually want to call. That was nice of Dennis to call and mention that about me, because I was feeling neglected for a little while. But he mentioned FireEye. I haven't looked at that thing in a while. Is that thing still losing money hand over fist? I know
I'm sure.
Don't look at... Is it? It was like losing $4 a share or something when I looked at it.
Was losing that much, really?
It was disgusting to see this thing. It was racing up with like LinkedIn and all that, probably about a year and a half, 2 years ago. Hopefully,
well, I don't know. Do any of these... Well, some of the cybersecurity firms do make money. I know that, but...
Do you have it, the EPS on that?
Well, let me take
earnings per share is a negative 246.
I'm sorry.
Next year they're supposedly losing 4 cents, so there appears
they're
to
improving.
Be right. They're up to terrible.
honestly, that's the only thing that makes you feel better about yourself and you feel like you're running against a wall. But I did learn a piece of wisdom. You guys are going to love this when it comes to money. Are you ready?
Okay.
Happiness is found in the space between spending and income. Meaning, no matter how much you make, whether it's a lot or a little, very few people, especially with debt and credit, have any space between spending and income. And the only way you'll ever be happy and not stressed is when you get a wider and wider girth of that space between spending and income.
Oh, makes sense.
I have no space going on right now, but that's something that I definitely want to start obtaining, is getting eventually to that part of more space. Because, and he was mentioning, and I heard from a guy, and he was saying, even if you're making like $350K a year or something, it's even more stressful because that's even harder to replace if anything happens or changes circumstances compared to someone making like $50,000.
Well, it's all relative, Jason.
It's all relative to your lifestyle, right? In other words, some people can't live on $350,000, right? Because of what they've chosen to do in their life, you know.
Exactly, the space between spending and income. Yep. So if you can manage to get a big space between that, you'll be happy. So, I don't know. I mean, shoot, isn't that what the meaning of life anyway is? Happiness? That's what we all make decisions for, whether it's for ourselves or those who we love and those sacrifices you make. But it's always what you think is going to make you happy.
That's true. But a lot of people, what they think is going to make them happy turns out to not make them happy.
That's true. But, yeah, I just figured I'd share that with you. I'm like, you know, these guys would appreciate that.
Oh, definitely. So. Appreciate that.
No problem. And Dennis, I know you won't ever, Peter, but I know Dennis at the ridiculously low prices, UVXY, might actually pick up a little insurance on this market or whatever. It's still running high, in my opinion. I think it's overbought, you know what I mean? I know you had a bunch of changes on the Russell 1000 there yesterday, you know what I mean, with companies that dropped off. And then, you know, so you had high volume and not much change in point values on the market. But,
well, it's interesting because some guy I was listening to, you know, this has been called one of the most hated bull markets ever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, he said every bull market's hated, you know, so.
Especially if you're not in it.
Right.
Especially if you're me, if you're a contrarian.
Yep.
You know, you guys had a guy on earlier. I learned that lesson hard with options. I barely touch them anymore. In 2007, I was buying down everything on the market because I'm like looking at things overvalued like I see them now. And I'm like, how do people not see this? Yep. And the last day I traded was when Wachovia and Washington Mutual posted their worst earnings ever, and the stocks were up like 2-3% for the day.
I'm like,
I'm done with this. It's like living in fantasy land. I should just every day start once upon a time, you know?
I know what you mean. I know a guy who's very good trader and everything. And he said, you know, if I ever listen to myself all the time, how negative I am on everything,
I'd be
losing money left and right.
Well, buy old silver, guys. Always my long-term thing.
Yeah.
Later, guys.
Take care. Thanks
for
calling.
Have a good weekend.
Okay, I guess we're down to the last, 3 minutes of the show? 2 minutes of the show? So I guess it's all over.
The party's over.
Party ended. But thank God enough people called to keep us going for the day. So, but, you know, it is interesting. You know, certain stocks, you know, Amazon lost money for years, didn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you know, and some companies who are losing money are constantly. That's what Amazon did. They just kept plowing money in.
Look at Tesla.
Yeah.
I just complain about it because I didn't buy it either.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
I just still wouldn't buy it, but whatever.
But you know, people have always argued, especially you know, if you call them technicians or chartists or whatever, you know that price is the most important thing. You know, and price tells all. And, you know, so it's like Jason said, you know, when earnings came out, they were bad and the price went up. Well, price is telling you something. It's telling you the people that are investing, a lot of them know something.
Or the earnings were to be worse and they're, even though they lost, they didn't lose as much.
It's looking in the rearview mirror when they announce earnings, you know.
Sure.
Other people, by the time they announce earnings, they're already into their next quarter, right? And they know what the business is coming up and so forth. And they know more things than you do, you know.
Right.
So if you go and buy the latest earnings report, you know, that's past history.
But even the analysts, you see it all the time. They have one that says buy, one says sell, and third one says hold. So what are you going to do?
So anyway, I mean, it was a good example of doing homework, you know, when Vic called, you know, and checking into who was going to benefit from Amazon. That's why we always say do your own research. You know, there are always a lot of interesting things you learn in Barron's that, you know, I always bring it up, you know, that they bring up things that I didn't know about, not necessarily the stock or anything, but you get more details into some of the businesses, the pipelines.
Well, you want to have more in your arsenal.
You get more knowledge about different things, you know, and, you know, and so that's why I always do kind of mention that. So anyway, until next week, you know, we say keep a little powder dry, and that always gives you opportunities. There will be continual opportunities in the market until there aren't any, you know.
That's it.
And somebody said the market will keep going up until it doesn't, you know. So
How profound.
Yeah, exactly. So don't try to guess. Until next week, take care. We'll be back next week.
Have a good weekend.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.